Okay. Hello. Welcome to The Heartbreak Kid with me, Morgan Birch. I am so excited today because there is this beautiful poetry account. It's called Notes App Poets. It's from the idea of, it's so relatable in part because of its name and because I also have a Notes App full of poetry about my romance. And I don't think we're alone in this. And so it's really cool. It's such beautiful poetry that you two write. And your bio is very simple. Two best friends with Notes Apps full of poetry. And it's all about love. And it's just like the most relatable. I pulled up a couple that are my favorites that hopefully we can talk about later. But it's a deliberately anonymous account. So no one can see your faces in this recording. And no one will know who you are, but this is H and L. Hello, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
So a lot of the poems that you guys write really are, when you write about love, it tends to also mean you're writing about loss. And the freaky thing about writing about love is that you're giving it to someone. You're saying, all right, I'm opening myself up. I'm giving you power. I'm giving you my love. And then they don't treat it well often. And which makes me wonder, first of all, anybody who hasn't read their poems, please go read their poems. And secondly, there's a line that I live by, which is when your heart breaks, make sure it breaks open. And I think your anti-cool girl mentality that you have right now is very much that, because you are writing about your pain and about these people that you give your love to who don't appreciate it, but you are not closing yourselves off. And I think a lot of people who feel that pain, the knee-jerk reaction is to close ourselves off, to shut down. But you're not doing that. So please tell me about the cool girl and why we are so anti-cool girl.
Well, to be fair, we have definitely closed ourselves off many times before. And I do think that writing about this more has helped helped, I know me at least, I don't know about Elle, but it's helped me to try and stay open, because the more I write about my experiences, the more I realize, like, how are love stories supposed to exist if we all keep closing ourselves off like this? And our generation has been so conditioned to do that and to focus on your independence and hashtag girl boss. And I know I've always like fallen into that mode of just like, well, screw this. This isn't working. I'm going to just like bury myself in my projects. And
yes.
And then you get in this mode of when someone does reach out and you do like them and you try to put on this facade of like, okay, well, I have to play by the rules so they stick around.
Yeah.
Like I have to say this and I have to text them at this time and I have to wait until I answer, and I can't reach out first, and I can't do this and this and this because I want him to stick around. Well, it's just like, why would you want someone to stick around for a fake version of you, first of all?
Yeah.
Second of all, if you want to do something, just go for it. And, you know, and you can be independent while also growing with somebody. That's a very big lesson that I've learned this year. Elle and I discuss all the time because I love my independence and I love working on myself, but that doesn't mean that I don't want a partner to share that with. And I think something that I also noticed has really bugged me that's in line with the cool girl is the, like, when something doesn't work out and people are like, well, you just need to focus on yourself and like work on yourself and do this, and it's like, oh, I do. Thanks.
Yes.
Like I do work on myself constantly. I'm yes. good. I'm just like, it's okay to want a partner and want love and be open about that.
And yes, it is. And you're right.
It is normal.
Like, It's right. Very normal. And people are like, we're in this, you're right. It is a very popular narrative right now to be like, don't want someone. And then, they'll come hyper independence and, yes. And having that desire for love and that desire for partnership is weak. That's the narrative that it's weak. But I talk about this maybe very often because it realizing this really changed my view of life. Stephen Covey wrote a book called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Mm-hmm. There's the interdependence thing where he talks about maturity is you start being dependent as a baby and a child needing food and care and stuff. Then you become a teenager, young adult, and you're hyper independent. And then you grow a little more and you realize that interdependence is where everything is. It's saying, yeah, I can survive on my own, but we can make magic together.
Yes.
And when you were just talking H about your, I'm just proud of myself for not using your name. when you were talking about, I am working on myself. Stop telling me to work on myself. I'm doing that. Being with a partner doesn't mean that stops. It actually helps us work on ourselves more because as you probably experience in your friendship, you're each other's mirrors. You help each other be sane because you're like, I'm having these feelings, and you get to see how they're received by the other person. And so I think relationships are really beautiful and we really knock them.
Yeah.
Now.
Have a little reflection. If you create an entire life based on you and only you, like, I don't know, that not to knock that either. If that's what you want to do, awesome. Yeah. I've done that for a very long time. I've really enjoyed it, but at some point I'm just like, okay, well, the world doesn't revolve around me. Like, I would like to share this, what I'm doing and learning and all of these things with somebody else and just have someone to, like, sometimes it's not even that deep. Like, I just want to have a friend to hang out with.
Yeah.
That, like, wants to lay on the couch with me. So.
Yes.
I just need to chill out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I totally agree. Chill out, but don't pretend to be chill.
Yeah, no, don't pretend. Well, I think that's how we get into, like, I see all these TikToks and memes about talking stages and how people are over the talking stage, and it's annoying, but if you aren't acting on those things, if you're being cool girl, you're prolonging the talking stage.
Oh yeah.
So a lot of the if you look at the comments on that post, there's some that say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, yeah, it didn't work out how you wanted it to work.
Yeah,
your expectation was, oh, if I do this then it will be received well. If it wasn't received, then it just wasn't meant for you, but you figured it out sooner than 6 months from now or a year, and you don't have to go through that talking stage anymore, and you'll find someone who's excited about your phone call.
Right. I think the problem, we have is that a cat in the screen?
Oh, it's a dog, but.
I would look like I was both for a minute there.
He's practically a cat, so.
I think the problem with cool girl is it is from a manipulative standpoint. It's from a standpoint of how do I control my behavior so that I can control your behavior.
Right.
And that is that's two falsehoods, because you're getting somebody who's not loving the real you, like you're saying, but you're also not really seeing the real them, or not stepping back enough to be like, how are they treating me? Are they excited to see me? Do they want to spend time with me? Because the number one requirement for somebody I'm with is that they want to be with me.
Yeah, that would be step one.
Yes, I know, but we are so drawn to people who don't want to be with us.
Right. Why? Yeah. Why do we do this to ourselves? I don't know.
I don't know either. There's some really interesting studies about it that I like a lot, but it has made me in dating be like, okay, I can't judge on the first date if I had sparks or not. I need to wait a while and find out who they are as a person. So what lessons have you learned through your dating life that you wish more men understood about dating?
Wow. We talk about this so often. Where do we start?
I know. I actually called H this morning and I said, I see a pattern in some of my relationships, and I'm not sure if I'm doing something wrong or if I'm not communicating it well. Like every day we're working through something.
Wait, yeah. What's the pattern? Do you not want to share the pattern?
I'd rather not share this one.
Okay, got it.
I'm a magnet for men who are emotionally unavailable. And I guess H is too. I guess that's one of our struggles.
A lesson for men, the emotionally unavailable man or the emotionally avoidant man, maybe, that a pattern that I'm seeing, even as I'm getting older, is you're enjoying each other's company and you're in the talking stage. And I feel like that minute I take a stand and I set some sort of expectation or boundary of your behavior, a guy will fire back by saying like, you know what? I'm not ready for a relationship. And it's like, listen up, dude. I did not ask you to be my boyfriend just now. I literally just told you to answer me in a timely manner or like stick to the plan that you made or like something so bare minimum. And this has happened a few times, especially in New York. It happened like 3 times in a row where I'm seeing someone and it's been like a month or two. And like one guy kept canceling. He just started getting canceling plans, and I just
You should read the text from the guy that, you know which one I'm talking about, where you kind of like let him know where you were at in your dating life and the way he responded to it.
Yes. I got to hear this.
It was one of these
also
moments.
To all the men out there, if you're dating one of us, we know everything each other.
Sure, we should. Screenshots. What is happening here?
Oh my gosh. Let me see if I can find this. It's the same. I think this is the same one that we were talking about where he was flaking and he would come back and be like, okay, you know what? Like I'm fully ready to go out. And then he would change the plan last minute and be like, actually, let's do brunch tomorrow instead. And it's just like, look,
no,
I do want to see you. But you have to respect my time. Like, you know, I got ready and I'm about to call an Uber and head out the door and you're changing the plan last minute. No, we're not doing that. And your response is like, I'm not ready for a relationship. And I'm like, well, I can't seem to find where I was asking for one. I was just asking for bare minimum respect, which you should have for any human that you're making a plan with.
Are you finding that?
I am trying to find this conversation.
Take your time. Again, we got time. This is recorded, so you chill. It's a breeze. That's why it's nice that it's not live.
I think some advice for men that I would have. This is very recent, was seeing this guy, and it started out great. You know, he was doing all the there were all the green flags and we were having fun, right?
Yes.
And suddenly I felt a shift and it felt very familiar and I tried to ignore it. I thought, no, you can't project that. But then at a certain point, it just bothered me too much because he was flaking so much. And I told him, I said, you know, I understand if you have other commitments. Well, you know, we get it. We're both H and I, we have very busy lives. We're busy. We have jobs. We have commitments.
Yeah.
And the men that we date, if you have a commitment, we understand. But what we don't understand and what we don't tolerate is disrespect. We don't tolerate wasting our time. And so like when we ask you a question of like, if you've changed your mind about how you feel about someone, then just say it. It's way easier on both of you than dragging your feet. Mm-hmm. Because eventually, 2 weeks later, I was right. And this guy, he finally said, yeah, I thought I was ready, but I'm just not.
Right.
But I basically had to ask him point blank because otherwise he probably would have just ghosted me.
Yeah. Right. People are really bad at expressing how they feel, because even if they want to reject you, they're still terrified that you will reject them.
And
vice versa. That's what we're all inherently terrified of rejection. Right. So,
And another thing too that goes along with Cool Girl and all of this, I know when Elle and I were talking about the guy she was just telling us about, we are all about send the paragraph, because yes, we are conditioned to delete that paragraph, and you know what, like, it's not going to work out, just like go on with your life, girl. Like,
and we had circle back moments with this.
Let him go. Just like ignore it. Delete his number. You know, that's what we see all over Instagram. And how is anyone going to learn and have changed behavior? Like, it's already said and done. Yeah. So like, let's burn this bridge to the mother effing ground then.
Yeah. Oh, I know what you're saying.
Like, I'm going to let you know how I feel, A, to get it off my chest and release that and feel better, and B, so you can treat someone else better. Like, men have got to get their shit together. So
I'm gonna
let you have it a little bit so that you can, and I'm never mean. I'm always just like, look, this is how this made me feel, and I wish you the best. I think you're a great guy. Moving forward, I hope that you can blink. You can see from my perspective, and
hopefully
the next relationship works out.
Interesting. I hope that some people could receive that. That would be so hard
they
to receive.
Do. We actually have, I've had a recent experience of a circle back moment.
Oh, good.
So
okay,
there was this guy back in September who completely ghosted me. He unfollowed me on everything, just fell off the face of the earth. I mean, he was gone.
A couple and of those, it, yeah.
I really liked him. And I was so confused. It's not a good feeling. And no one wants to feel that way.
Yeah.
And there had been no, I guess, arguments, anything weird that happened between us. It was going great. So I fired up my notes app and I wrote out a paragraph.
Yeah, you did.
And this is probably one of the first times I implemented send the paragraph. And I thought, well, I could not send it and feel just, you know, sit with being upset, or I can send it without the expectation of a response.
Yeah.
I think that's where we tend to get hurt, is when people don't react the way that you hope that they will.
Right.
But at least you say
that's
whatever
key.
It is you need to say. So I sent it to him and I didn't get a response. And H and I recently went to the beach, and the day that we got back from the beach, I had a message from him and an apology, and he called me the next day and he said, I honestly thought you wouldn't care, and no one has ever called me out like that. Thank you for calling me out that way. And he explained, you know, what he was going through, and like what he was going through, you know, I understood it very well, but
tell me what his apology was, because it froze for a second and maybe the recording caught it, but I really want to know what you said.
He apologized for how he handled it. He really was not in a good place, and that's understandable.
And he thought you wouldn't care, and that
no one had called him out like that before, like for his actions of any sort. He said, no one has ever, I guess, held me accountable in that way. And I thought, well, you have probably plenty of guys and I'm just another number on your roster. But I did circle back and I did send the paragraph, and I was very specific in how it made me feel. I was specific and how it was wrong. And so he apologized for how he handled it. He explained what he was going through, which I understand what he was going through, but that does not excuse how he treated me. And that's essentially what he told me. So, and he took the time to call me and like, will it turn into a full-blown relationship? I don't know. But, you know, he learned something. He learned something about himself that otherwise, I don't know, maybe would another girl have done it? Probably not, because she's read all these memes that have told her to delete the paragraph. No, don't.
Right. Don't. And sometimes they won't respond, but if you don't give them the opportunity to, they definitely won't.
Right. Mm-hmm. I had a similar, you know, a guy that, the one that I wrote that lost dog poem about, actually, you know, when we first started talking, we had one of those moments where he was pulling away and doing all the same
things. Yes, I remember that one.
And pulled the whole, I'm not ready for a relationship. And I was like, look, I never said I was ready for a relationship, did my whole spiel, but like, good luck, whatever.
Yeah.
And he Oh gosh, I hope he doesn't listen to this, but hi, if you do.
Does yes, he know that you have this account?
About. He knows I have the account, but he is blocked along with like all of our main people.
We have a blocked list.
Oh my God.
I'm not allowed to see it, but like he's definitely like intrigued by it. But
I love that.
But like a few weeks after I wished him well and he was, you know, we parted friendly. He was like, thank you for telling me how you felt. And like, this is what I thought. And I was like, well, this just sounds like one big miscommunication between like the way that man and woman even like see things. Yeah. This is just silly. But you know, I wished him well. And then I get like a you up text like a few weeks later. Okay. And I just called him out on that too. I was just like, we're not doing this either. Like,
this, I'm know, not
we ended things nicely girl. And I really liked you and I still really like you. Like, just don't, we're not doing that. We're too old for this. And,
Wow. Yes. He has said
like up until even very recently that was like calling him out and holding him accountable for that behavior. He was like, that was like a reset for me. Nobody has called me out on that in so long. I'm 34 years old. And I like reevaluated the way I was treating people and dating and women. Yeah. I told all my friends about it. Like, I will never send that to anyone ever again.
Wow. That's great. I think that's such a good story from both of you, because I think what happens, we all get afraid of telling people how their actions made us feel.
Right.
Even in relationships that we're trying to maintain. Right. But especially with people who we're like okay with letting go of. Because most people just lie to each other because it's easier. Why would I tell you the truth about how you make me feel? If I tell you the truth, you might reject me or not like it or whatever. Like, I'm not going to tell you you have shit in your teeth. Somebody else can tell you that.
Exactly.
Right?
And who knows if they're actually implementing what they say they're saying they are? How can I trust what everybody's saying? Mm-hmm. But at least we're trying, you know?
Yeah. They don't have the opportunity to. You know, you tell somebody they got stuff in their teeth, they don't have to take it out, but they didn't even know it was there until someone said, hey, maybe go look in the mirror.
Our big lesson this year has definitely been like telling those people how we feel and no more ghosting, like no more just letting something fizzle out. I mean, yes, there are moments where that happens, but if you had a real connection, you're not allowed to ghost me if we had a real connection. That's not happening. And we're going to talk it out because that's important. Yeah. So we've definitely learned how to say those feelings of how, hey, this mostly negative thing made me feel this way. Now, this year's goal is how do we tell people the positive? Like, how do I say tell someone that I love them? You know, that's the opposite side.
Yeah.
That is something I still struggle with. It's like, am I going to tell this person that I think I might love you? Or am I going to just like, I don't know, keep it hidden and cry about it at night? Like, we can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, We're getting there. We got at least one half of it taken care of, you know?
Yeah, it's moving forward.
I mean, who wants to go through life not knowing that people love them, you know? Like, if someone loves me, then I would want to know that. I might care about them in a different way, but I mean love is special regardless of the depth that it carries.
Yeah.
And people deserve to know that.
I think we have a fear because when we like or love somebody, naturally we want them to like or love us back, and the deeper the love, the more desperately we want that to be reciprocated. But I think being aware of it is the first step, because then when you know, okay, I really love this person, and then you go, I cannot control how they feel about me. That I think is the only way. Like, okay, so I got out of a relationship. You were describing the guy that shifted all of a sudden recently. I had the same thing where it was like incredible for a while and I was excited. And I was like, wow, this is. We talk about everything. We have amazing banter. We've got great everything. It's good. I was like, this, even our sex is great. Although now I'm in a really healthy, probably the first truly healthy relationship I've ever been in. And the sex is the best I've ever had. So it's like making everything pale by comparison. But sorry.
Well, then it's funny when you look back and you're like, actually, that wasn't that great. That's funny that convincing myself that that was like the greatest thing.
The greatest thing I could have.
And it's like, no.
Yeah. But I think he was emotionally unavailable and generally unavailable. And I think there was something, there's something really appealing about that. But I was very transparent with him about how I felt and how much I loved him. And that hurt, but I did it as soon as I started feeling things. I was just like expressing how I felt. And I kept saying when I felt that, whenever I said it, I would be like, I am not saying this so that you say it back to me. I'm saying this so that we are super transparent and I am a trustworthy person. And I did that when he hurt me or when anybody hurts me too. I like created that habit so that, you know, I'm not just saying what you want to hear. You know, I'm saying the truth and I am willing to risk you not liking me or you rejecting me for your trust, because trust is more important to me than you approving of everything I say. Sorry, I went on like a rant right there.
You're so wise.
So thank you.
Such great advice. Everybody write that down.
Trust is more important than approval, because you'll lose approval instantly as soon as they realize they can't trust you. So all of that to say, I did that and I showed him how much I loved him. And I think that is part of what made him shift. But that's fine. I'm shocked that my dog is not screaming yet. He does not know how to bark. He just screams. It's insane.
There are some kids playing outside. Sorry. They're
that'll do
off.
It.
Continue.
So I think that's part of what made him shift. But what was really good for me was that, and us, is that he was able to be like, well, I can't give you what you want. And I wanted to be like, well, I'm not asking for you to love me right now. And then I went, actually, I am. And I want to be with somebody who loves me. And if you can't do that, then I want you to tell me, and I want to be able to hate you for a while and move on and process this. And it made the whole process really quick. But it just like what you're saying about saying what you're feeling and sending the paragraph and telling the person, right.
you know that you did everything that you could or that you were feeling, and you were honest with yourself and you were honest with them.
And it didn't give me the result I wanted. Mm-hmm.
And that's
initially, but it gave me a better one because it would have been bad to be with him.
Exactly.
What annoyed me about him, and I wonder if you have had this experience too, is he refused people. I think no one wants to be the villain in someone else's story. And I think part of being mature is being like, okay, I have to accept that I'm going to be the villain in some people's story. So I said, you know, I fell madly in love with you and you didn't fall in love with me, and that's okay. Let's move on. He was like, well, no, I mean, I care about you really deeply and I do love you. And I was like, no, none of your actions align with the words you're saying to me. You are so addicted to being charming and having people be charmed by you that you cannot stand that now I'm saying, hey, I don't want to be with you. You don't truly love me. And he just kept using all of these words. And I was like, your actions don't align. Stop. Just let me go.
Yeah, that's what happened with the guy I was talking about, the recent one. When I brought it up, he said, of course I want to see you. That's not true. I want to see you. And a week later, you're telling me you don't want a relationship. I mean, just say it. You felt it then, and that's okay. It's okay to not want the same thing. Just be honest with me about it.
Unfortunately, I think sometimes with men, it's like, hey, I don't love you, but I would really hate to lose a sex connection because it's really hard for me to find one.
Yes.
Yes. Honestly, with this one, that's probably what it was, because he's missing out, okay?
Yeah, he is. Exactly. It's so, okay, I want to talk about vulnerability more, because that's kind of what we are talking about, like telling what you're feeling. And you made a comment that you had connected over vulnerability. Did you just mean through your poetry or?
H and I?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. In our friend group, they make fun of us. We do an annual girls trip in July, and
that's cute.
The week before the trip, the group message was really active, and they said, "Well, you know, L and H are going to be over there on the beach in their notes app." Like,
right.
But they're also very supportive, and we love them so much, and we know it's all out of love.
Oh, that's so cute. Wow, you have like a whole group of friends who are female?
Yeah, it's
nobody has that anymore. You realize that, right? That's dying.
These girls really came along at the exact right time, and I think all of our lives. We had a mutual friend who invited us all on a vacation, what was like 3 years ago? And this was like none of us knew each other, but we all had the same mutual friend that invited us. And it was like, I haven't done a girls That's trip brilliant. Like this in like since college spring break or something, you know?
Yeah.
And I know for at least me in the time I was in my life, I had just left California and moved back home and, you know, was like reconnecting with old friends, but you don't necessarily have a lot in common with them at that point. And
yeah,
so I was feeling like, oh, like, yeah, do people have girlfriends anymore? Like, who do right. I talk to? It's like my mom, my only friend. And
yeah.
trip. And I mean, all of these, we just all connected so deeply on this trip. And it was like such a, like just one of those, I don't know, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Kismet?
Kismet, thank you. I was like, it starts with a K. Yes. I'm great with words. I'm a poet. It's such a kismet moment. And I mean, like as cheesy as it sounds, I truly think like this is like one of those soul connections. Like,
yeah.
I never knew these girls. We all went to the same college, but we weren't friends there either. And now we're just so close and we all live in different cities and stuff. So that's why we have our annual girls trip too.
I
get to see each other, but you know, it's been a really special thing to find in adulthood. So
yeah, how does having
to anyone to even if you have friends in other cities, it is really important to keep those connections because, you know,
well, that's actually a really good question. Like how do you think friendships play into your love life? Like having friendship with each other and with the friends you have, how does that play into your romance
with
side.
These girls? I actually wrote something for this about friendship. I over the last couple of years, I went through probably the most gut-wrenching part of my life, and when I felt like I couldn't wake up for the day, you know, they were there every morning texting me saying, you know, you can do this, you can do this, you're gonna get through it. And as far as like how I view myself, if I view myself the way that they do, there's I could literally take on the world, and it's all because of their support. And as far as dating goes, like that's what I want in a partner, someone who loves me the way that they do and that unconditionally. I love you. But it's a pure unconditional love, and I think having those friendships along with others. I have college friends that I've been friends with now for what, like 15 years, and it really grounds you and makes you realize, you know, how special friendship is and what unconditional love like actually is. And if I'm not seeing that in a person, if they aren't treating me with the same level of support and respect and not judgy attitude, then like that's not it, and I don't want it.
Right.
Yeah.
I will say our group is very special, and I think a lot of that is in part to us meeting as adults, because, you know, you have a group of friends in college and, you know, everybody goes separate ways, but we did meet as mature adults who are like pretty confident in ourselves. So there is no judgment, and a lot of the time what I tell my friends too when it comes to relationships is block out the noise, trust your gut, because we can only say so much, but you are the only person in this situation, and you're the only person in this relationship, and you're the only one who knows how you feel. So like we are here to support you whatever you choose. We can only give advice based on what we see, but I don't see everything. So
that's wise. That's so wise.
You know, all of our, this group of friends as adults have been able to handle each other's relationships in that way. Like I know for a fact that you all have not approved of every relationship that I've gotten myself into. You guys handled it quite well, considering. So
I think that's really beautiful, because I know friendships who that have fallen apart because they chose to date somebody. The other one was like, that's a bad idea.
Lauren and Heidi, you know, RIP, Spidey, the Hills.
Oh, I don't know. For, I didn't,
you, for the younger ones out there, the Hills was
the original.
The original girlfriends break up over Lauren, Heidi and Spencer got together, and then Lauren,
LC.
LC. Do you know this?
Lauren Conrad, is that her name?
Yeah.
I know her name, and but I've never actually seen it, and now I feel like I'm failing womanhood. I don't want, oh man, I gotta watch it.
If you rewatch as an adult, you're just like, wow, that was a pretty savage friend right there. Like, he sucks too, to be clear, but like putting your friends in that choice isn't always the nice.
Yeah, thing. But I think that was a popular narrative for a long time too. I don't know. Right. I don't know. I don't hear about it as much, but I think that's because fewer people have friends, truly.
Also true.
Like, you see tons of memes about relationships and love, and you see a lot of conversations about that and hardly anything about friendships. And a lot of conversations about friendscaping, like choose friends who are better than you so that you become a better person. And it's a lot of like cutting people out of your life.
Yeah, and that is really popular in all relationships, and like the way we're handling our life right now is like, if this isn't the best thing for you, cut it out. And I think we're forgetting as a collective that there are ebbs and flows, and people go through good times and bad times. And
yeah,
it's important. So
do we. Yeah,
everybody's perfect.
I'm back to yet again saying what sending the paragraph.
Yeah,
we got to do that with our friends. We keep doing this thing that treating people like they're static, like they're never going to change. They, whatever version that they are now is the end all be all, and we're not going to stick around unless they become the perfect version of a friend that we want. Exactly. That's a really dangerous way to look at it, and I'm really guilty of it because I grew up with parents who believed in independence really greatly. And so I was always fighting to be like that. And my dad always said, friends for different reasons, friends for different seasons. And that's like one of his catchphrases, right? So I always thought I was a strong person by keeping walls up, and by not getting too close to friends, and by moving on and, you know, cutting them out if they didn't fit well. And one of the things I'm learning from my boyfriend is that he does not cut people out. And he shows up. He will complain about his friends to me. I don't do that. I like complain to you. If I'm upset with you, I complain to you. Or I go, oh, I guess that's who you are. I'll cut you out now. And I'm stopping the cutting out thing now, because I've watched him and I went, oh, I'm being so shitty because people aren't disposable. And I never would have said that they were. But my actions are saying that they are. And that was such a reality check for me. So it's something I'm really working on now, trying to like say how I feel and say how it makes me feel, and not let friendships die just because they become inconvenient or they become different than they once were. But really like work on them, and you guys are really inspiring me. This is this is a really helpful conversation for me to witness your friendship and to hear you talk about your friend group.
Right. Yeah. And we're all very different. Like, you know,
very,
very different. Like, Elle and I are so similar in some ways, and we're so different in other ways. But that's what I love about her, because she's helped me to see different perspectives than I normally would. And like, you've helped me to get in touch with that vulnerable, my, what I say, like my cheesy cringe sides, you know, like that's a side of me that I've always been really scared to put out there. And Elle is not afraid of doing that. So she's really helped push me to get in touch with that side of me and post my words and the things that I'm saying on the inside and thinking in my little notes app. So beautiful. You know, friendships are very important. And it's funny that you say that about your boyfriend, because if you really think about it, men in general, not to put anyone in a box, I don't want to like offend anybody, but
yeah, I feel like I know
when I think about like guys and like my brother or people I've dated, like they're so loyal with their friendships and easier to cut off relationships, where women they are really searching for like a loyal relationship, but we're easier to cut off our friendships. So that's such an interesting. That's
interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
Guys, let's all change the world and let's all be loyal.
Yeah. I think we should let our relationships be what they are. Like, let them ebb and flow, but I do not want them to die because I was unwilling to be honest or unwilling to show up for somebody. I'm just so inspired by you. Okay. I've got a couple questions before we hit ending. So first, what small act of kindness were you shown at some point in your life that you'll never forget?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah. And again, take your time to think about it, because that's the beauty of this format.
Love it.
I can think of a few. As a teacher, a lot of small acts of kindness, but I had a student who came from a broken home, and I don't think dad was in the picture, if I remember correctly. They, I think, struggled to make ends meet. And I like for my classroom to be a positive environment. I want my students to feel like it's a safe place. And I work really hard to create that. But at the end of the school year, the student had, I think they were a part of like some type of program where they did something with plants. I don't remember, like flowers. And he knew that I loved flowers. And he said, "Hi, Miss L," we'll call me Miss L.
Okay, good.
I can't buy you flowers, but you know, you showed me that I had a future beyond this. And like, he wanted me to know that he appreciated it, or appreciated me. And I have bought a new house. And he brought me these flowers he had planted for me to plant in my front yard.
Oh,
and, you know, he took note of something that I liked, and he wanted me to know that, hey, you made an impact on me. And, I mean, it was really thoughtful, and especially coming from, you know, a student.
Yeah. That's so beautiful.
Really sweet. I would say my small acts of kindness, somewhat in line with that, are just when people remember small details. And it doesn't matter how small or who it is. When somebody remembers something that you love, or just even as simple as like, oh my God, like just being a good listener and remembering things about people, always makes my day. Because the older we get and the more people that we meet and see and connect with online and all of this stuff, sometimes I feel like I'm like repeating myself all the time. And when somebody can remember something really small you're like, oh, you actually did unplug and tune in. Like, you really did listen to that. So I do try to do that in my life too, when I'm meeting new people and when I'm out with friends, like unplugging and really just tuning into what people say. And you see them again, like, bring it up and let them know that you listened. Like, it's not, once again, don't be the cool girl and pretend like you don't remember. Like, you know, make it known that you do remember those small details, because that makes somebody's day sometimes.
Yeah, it makes them feel so connected to you too.
I'm not sure that this is considered an act of kindness, but I almost like this response better than the one that I gave based on what Kate said. My grandmother, when I was growing up, gave me this advice, and she would say, "Elle, there," and it's funny because we're not sharing our names on here, but she said, "There is nothing sweeter to a person's ears than to hear their name." And like, if you think about it and you're out and you're meeting a lot of people, it can be hard to keep up with names, but imagine meeting someone once and then you see them later on and you say, you know, "Hi, Colin," or, you know, whatever their name is. And, "You remembered my name."
Yeah.
And like, you don't realize how special that is.
Yeah.
And it really is. It is a special thing to take note of everyone's names, especially in a dating culture where like, you're on dating apps all the time and swipe and be the person that remembers their name.
Yeah,
I think that's like good advice.
It's so simple.
It's so funny that in the culture we live in, the swipe culture, I remember I was dating a guy that I did meet on like Hinge or something, and we're like 3 dates in, and I was like, "Oh my god, I wonder if he knows my name at all."
Because he never said it.
Like hanging out.
Yeah.
But like, at some point, I was just like, "He never says my name, and I'm probably on his phone is just like something Hinge." And don't worry, everyone, he did know my name, but
okay. I was actually on my, I was like, did he? It somebody else's name he started saying?
Yeah, it is important to say someone's name, especially in the disposable culture that we keep talking about, because
yeah,
make people feel connected and human.
Amen. Okay, so a heartbreak related question that I loved, it's because it's like split 50-50. Here we go.
Queens of heartbreak.
Yes. Is it harder to let go of anger after a breakup or to open up to new love?
I think
for you, because it's personal for each person.
Right. I think for me, it's opening up to new love, and
it's anger for me, just so you know.
Not always because I'm putting those walls up, but because I also just like, it's hard for me to let go of someone if I truly loved them. I can't just like cut it off. You know, it takes me a while to come out of that mode and then be ready again. So that's like a full process every time. And there's some people that can be like, "All right, cut it off, moving on, next relationship." And I am so jealous of those people.
Well,
I kind of moved on very quickly this week, but I think not really, but I will immediately date someone else, but will I open up to them? No, I won't. So I am very much like age and being able to accept it. Like, will I let go of that anger? I let go of the anger with the person I told you about earlier. I let go of that and I'm moving on with my life, but it's really, really hard for me to fully open up and accept love or not question, is there an ulterior motive here? There's this guy that, and I still love him. I'm not going to say that. H knows that I love him. I love him so much, and I wish that I didn't. So every person that I meet, it feels like I will never, I mean, I know I will, but how do I open up in that way again without questioning, you know, well, are they going to be too riddled with grief? Are they going to keep me in this limbo, or are these grand promises? Are they false promises? You know, are they love bombing, or are they serious? Are they actually vulnerable? How genuine are they?
Yeah.
So,
and that was
that's what I struggle with.
At what point will I, you know, I may be physically sitting here on a date, but at what point will I be able to not compare this person to him? And at what point do I get to finally wake up and not care? And, you know, like the Taylor Swift, "I Forgot That You Existed," like that is one of the best feelings in the world when it finally works, when you're like, I really did. I really haven't thought about him. Finally.
Yeah.
That's a really hard thing.
I think it only happens when you have a, I don't know. I was going to say it only happens when you have a deep trust for somebody else, but trust is almost not enough. It's like you have to have a deep love for somebody else and you go, why did I even care about that guy?
Right.
There's a line in some movie, I cannot remember what the movie is, where he's an older figure is telling a younger figure that this is not going to be a big deal one day. And he goes, soon she will be a chapter in your book and then a page and then a line and then a scribble.
Yeah.
And I always like, yeah, you're right.
You guys,
not for you. It was
not for me.
Yeah. Then some people it's like, dang it. Why are they the first line on every page?
Yeah.
Still.
My scribble is very long.
Yeah. this is not as good. This is cruel. Toddler got a hold of this book and is writing on every single page.
Notes that poet.
Yeah. So it's not even letting go. It's like letting go of old love, because you can't really open up to new love until you've let go of your old love. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Especially we're such sentimental people, the two of us. Of our group of friends, like we're talking about, you know.
When they hear this and they know who I'm talking about and who I am hopelessly in love with, they're going to probably call me and be like, are you serious?
We're so sentimental.
We thought we talked about this.
I feel like sometimes I treat my real life like it's like a memento box, and I want to keep everything so I can know and remember every story and like feel everything. And like you don't have to do that. You can put it in the box and then close it and move on.
Put it back on your shelf.
Still just as special, but I feel like I have a hard time like letting go of the sentiment of everything, and sometimes I think that plays into being a writer, because everything, like every moment is so important to me because of the story, and you have to
marinate in it.
Right.
And for a long time. That's interesting. So I want to feel things as quickly as possible. Like I want to feel them hard and fast and get over it. I want to scream and punch things and then it's done. Like that's it's very volatile, but
send that paragraph and you know, then scream and yell and get it out.
I get it out and then I like want to move on.
I could probably learn a little something from you.
I don't know though.
A little more of that.
I think I need to be a little more like you guys.
Certainly there's a happy medium, you know?
There's gotta be, I'm learning from you in this. I'm like, I mean, I write all that stuff out and then I don't know at what point. This is a thing I debate with a lot. At what point does it stop being processing and starts being wallowing? Because I don't want to wallow.
Fine line. I set time for myself of like, you can process and feel this until this day, and then it does become wallowing. And if you still wallow, I guess that's your own problem, but like, let's not wallow on our friends. Like, don't message your friends about it. Like, you've got to figure something out if you're gonna go past this date, right?
Then you
have to pick yourself up and start trying again, and you will forget it. I promise anyone.
Yeah.
You will forget it. And this is coming from the girl who just said that I have a hard time putting the box on the shelf. Like,
yeah,
it will happen.
It's hard.
Promise.
And I don't know.
Do it.
Because sometimes I think everybody's different, right? So sometimes people do need to process for 5 years. And if you're a writer, there's a beauty to that, because you can just keep writing about it and people will relate to what you write. So
right. And if you if you get to know yourself and how you process things, that'll help you set those dates for processing and wallowing, right? Where it's like, well, if I take 5 years to process, well, I guess that's the way you work.
I don't know. I guess I'm just afraid of coming at life from a victim mentality.
Yes.
Because life is coming from me, not at me. And the only way that I remember that is if I stop and go, okay, yes, this is what's happened to me, but now I get to move on with this.
Moving.
And use it the way I want to.
There's definitely a difference between processing the way you feel and then letting it make you feel like a victim, right? Or the victim mentality of it.
Yeah, because sadness and mourning things is not victim mentality. That's good. Yeah. That's like, feelings. Those are emotions that we interact with.
And that's what I try to see it as too. Like, I wrote something the other day about like, I knew that I was finally over it when I could hear our song and smile finally, you know?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, I read that.
It doesn't have to always be sad. It can be like,
yeah,
it was real and it was a really special thing. And
being able to look back on it like, wow, that was really fun. That was a fun experience, like a trip you went on instead of the person who shattered your heart into a million pieces. It's like really hard to change sometimes. But my final heartbreak question is, what is the hardest part of breaking up?
I think recently, what I learned in the past 2 years, which is what a lot of my writing is about, I would say I went through one of the biggest heartbreaks I've ever experienced. And in hindsight, I'm realizing that the reason it hurt so bad was because I let something go on longer than I knew I should have. So I think the reason I was so heartbroken was with myself.
Yes.
And realizing that. And
yeah.
And knowing that I knew better and like
you feel like a fool almost.
Yeah. And and that's okay too. Like we all have those learning moments, but I think when I get mad at myself, that's been the hardest part, is having those moments where you're just thinking back and just knowing that you knew better and that, that you could have prevented so much more heartbreak. But you know, that's how life rolls. So you live in it and then you get mad at yourself and then you say, okay, well, won't do that again. Moving on.
And if I do, oh well.
Then, silly me.
Yeah, I agree that I have the same problem. But I think that comes from this like perfectionist mentality that at least I have, that I suffer from sometimes, that I'm like, fuck, go away. Where I feel like I should have known as soon as I knew, like as soon as I had the inkling, I should have just gone with that inkling. But there are stories where they gave it longer and it did work out.
You never know.
Yeah. And how
it's hard to know at what point you're projecting a past experience.
Yes.
Like that's a fine line.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think it does warrant more time, but not always. it varies. Every relationship.
It was a knowing. It was a very knowing, not always. Not always.
I know. Yeah. I've been there. But I think the hardest.
Oh, I was just going to say, I would say the hard, like the deeper side of it would be the relationship with myself and coming out of that, being mad at myself or like being too hard on myself. And then the lighter side of it is like, you know, you just miss your friend sometimes. You want to like, oh, that he would have thought that was funny, but
yeah,
you know, that's also really hard.
Yeah, the companion. What were you going to say, Elle?
I was going to say the hardest part for me, I mean, I've experienced, I mean, I guess there's different types of breakups, you know, but the person I was talking about earlier that I genuinely, I love, and I still love, I think the hard part of that is accepting that it's not reciprocated and you have to choose yourself to walk away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like accepting that. Acceptance. Wanting someone in there, like missing somebody and wanting them in your life, doesn't mean they should be there.
Yeah.
Right. And it's okay to, I feel like at some point people have made me feel dumb for feeling the way that I feel about this person. And it's not dumb. A feeling is a feeling. It's valid no matter what. Were they the best person to me? no, they weren't. But at the end of the day, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I do love this person. And so validating my own feelings, but and accepting theirs and validating theirs, that's what's hard. I mean, it's twofold.
I think that is a really good point. People, we are so quick to judge other people's feelings, each other's feelings, because I don't know why we're like that. Actually, I have to think about that more, but we do it. It's like an easy target or something. So we're like, oh, don't feel that way. You know, it's the same. It's that classic. I'm so sad. And people are like, oh, don't be sad. And you're like, that's what I'm actively just trying not to be.
Just be happy.
Just, my friendships are so hard.
Yes. Yes. So it's like, I'm in love with him. And they're like, don't be in love with him. And you're like, I would love not to be in love.
Make it stop. Make it stop.
Can you find the button that turns it off then?
Yeah. I think that's the wrong. I mean, not that we should judge anything at all about what other people are doing, because we can't be in their mind. But if we must judge something, it's how do they interact with their emotions, not what are their emotions. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of people out there, I think almost everyone out there, who has friends being like, stop loving that person, don't be into that person. And I don't think that's what we have to control. I think what we have to actually control is, okay, well, how do I want to be treated and what do I accept in my life?
Right. And also,
you're the person who wakes up to it every day. Only you wake up to your life every day. Only you feel those things, whether they're good or bad.
Right. Yeah. If you see a friend going through that too, I think there's always ways to present it. Like, bashing the person they're in love with is not going to work, just so we all know. Like, they're obviously in love with this person. So, like, cutting them down and pointing out every flaw, it's like, well, that person has been thinking about this a lot. So they already know all of that. Okay.
Yeah.
I did have a friend come to me, and the way she presented it really opened my eyes. And she was just like, look, you know, I don't like so and so. We all know this. Doesn't matter. But
I know what you're
about. But what really bothers me is that I spend a lot of time with you, and you're my best friend, and you're one of the most fun people, and we had the best time together. And I can see him, he sends you a text message, and your whole demeanor changes, and your face changes, and it ruins your night. And I'm watching this happen from the outside, and I don't know what he's saying, and it's not my business, but I'm seeing the way you're reacting every time
he
interjects himself. So. And that's just my observation. That's all she said. She didn't tell me what to do with it.
Yes.
And that just really opened my eyes. And I was like, you know what? She's right. And
you're right.
I've got to figure this out.
That is really good advice for how to be a friend to somebody who's dating somebody that's hurting them. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's how I broke up. I was dating somebody and he had been in the car with my mother. My mom and my best friend were sitting in the front two seats. He and I were sitting in the back seats for 30 minutes straight. He was just talking about his work and how angry he was at multiple people. And it was just a tirade of complaints for the whole time. And I was listening to them being like, okay, yeah, maybe you feel this way because of this, and like really empathizing and then trying to talk him through the next step. I was just being the ultimate supportive person. Because I get a lot of my identity from being that person. And that night, he was gone and I was still at my parents' house. And my mom goes, hey, I just want you to know that I noticed in the car that you were, for the whole ride, supporting him. And you were doing a great job of that. But I didn't see him do that for you. And I've never seen him do that for you. And I know I'm not in your relationship, so maybe he does. But I want to make sure that you notice that too, if that is happening. Like, if that's happening, just so you know, that's what I see. And that was like a light bulb moment for me.
Yes. Yes.
And that was the best. It's the same thing. It's like, I see how you're being treated and how you feel.
Right. It's just an observation. Like, I'm not attacking you or your choices or.
Or even him.
Or whatever. It's just like, hey, I saw this happen.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
that's it. That's all. So let's just tell, we're going to tell people again where to find you. And, I have to say thank you so much again for being on here. This is a beautiful episode. You are such
beautiful
souls. I'm really excited that this whole episode started off with two gorgeous poems that people are going to be like washing dishes, crying while they listen to them. And so, okay. So tell people where they can find you and then I'll sign off.
Cool.
Oh yeah. There are two of you.
Take your pick. On Instagram.
Yeah. At notes at poets. There are three P's in a row.
Yes. Notes at poets. And then Elle, I think you made a Twitter. We've not tweeted anything, but
we have not. We're not really sure what we want to post on there. We thought about posting on the dumb shit that men say to us on there.
We'll oh, that would be really great.
the humorous side of the sappy stuff we write.
That would be great. I would follow. I would definitely follow.
Oh, and we are, well, H, I think we are. Are we releasing the stuff?
Oh, yeah. We do have, so we've been designing for funsies some merch, like a Valentine's.
Oh,
yeah. Like, that we were gonna- this is why I had messaged you, I guess, yesterday or the day before, because this, we were kind of trying to figure out when we were going to drop this. But well, yeah, like that.
Do you want me to drop this like on Valentine's Day? Because well, I can hold it.
We're going to release the merch like soon. That could. But it's like stuff like we're not your Band-Aid girl. Like guys who use girls as a bandage to their wound. Yes. And they're discarded as soon as they're all put back together.
Yes.
Hi. No, we're right. Not your Band-Aid girl. We're yeah. Not a cool girl.
Oh, there's one that's like a candy heart. I'm a clown for you. Because we are clowns.
Oh.
Yeah, we make fun of ourselves all the time.
A phone case, you know, stop, like candy hearts, like stop texting me, just come over.
Oh, I love that. You know,
stuff about how, or, like,
I'm buying these.
Not being vulnerable. Sorry for having feelings. Just like funny little things that go along with our whole belief okay. System of like, send the paragraph.
I will wait to release this until you release your merch.
How our text messages translate, because like if you look at our feed, it's all sappy.
Yeah.
And then like our text between H and I are like, look at me sending this to this guy yet again. And followed by a clown face, like it's me, I'm here. And we see some of that in our stories too. I think our followers sometimes, like, we make fun of ourselves in our stories as well. So I think this merch is a good reflection of,
yeah, people will love this.
It's the self-awareness of it all, you know, be vulnerable, but even if it makes me a clown, you know, I'm a clown, I guess.
Okay, so where can they find the merch when you drop it? Will the link be in your Instagram?
We will have a link.
Okay.
We have a link tree in our bio, and it will be there.
So follow the link in their bio for the merch. This will not drop until the day that your merch comes out. And then when your merch comes out, I'll drop this, and I'll add the link in the show notes too.
Beautiful.
Okay. Perfect. All right. And then everyone who listened and or watched only my face for this long. Thank you so much. I hope you love your day. I hope you love you. Good Morgan. Thank you for joining us on The Heartbreak Kid. And then the music. And we're done.
That's so good.
That was a fucking gorgeous episode.
Thank you so much for having us. I really enjoyed that. So
yeah, I'm like really happy to know you.
Yeah, I live in New York, girl. If you
I know you said that, you I live? Went.
If you're excuse me.
Oh, you live in New York?
Yeah, I wonder if you can see. The reflection might ruin it. I showed her earlier. You see, so through that window is the skyline.
Oh, wow, it's already dark.
Okay, yeah,
that's the skyline. But
yeah, always down. You want to grab a drink and talk about the ding dongs that we date?
Yes, I would love to. 'Do you feel comfortable reading your own poems, or is that like too much?
What did I write?
I do. Give me a second.
Yeah, yeah. Take your time.
Let me fire up my notes app.
Okay.
What exactly did I write that day?
Yeah. We're just creating art here together. That's what this is.
Beautiful.
I love podcasting because this is so beautiful. Like we really are creating something that somebody, listens to while they're like living their life, and we're in their ear, and it's so beautiful, and there's a lot of freedom to it. And yeah. Okay. Okay. Is there a title to it? Cause it just, it's.
No.
Okay. We're just going to call it the grandfather clock poem.
Yeah, we can call it the grandfather clock or the pendulum. Actually, that's
cool. I like more that.
The pendulum.
Yeah, all that's right. A good title.
Okay, go. Yeah, I guess we will with it. Okay. Back and forth, back and forth. My feet pace as my mind races. Time seems to pause with the night, trapping me with my thoughts. So my mind traces back and forth, like the pendulum of the grandfather clock that sings at each hour, reminding me that I'm still awake. I should sleep, but I'd rather my thoughts swing with the pendulum than be trapped in sleep. The clock chimes again, and I startle, but not out of a deep sleep. I'm fully awake. Sorry, this makes me really emotional. I startle because it was your witching hour, and that's why I'm awake. That's why I'm afraid. I'm still waiting for your terror, but this time I breathe. You're no longer here, and my mind slows, but the pendulum is steady. Like my heart with its truth, I am safe.
That's so heavy and so beautiful. Thank you for reading it. That's like,
a lot of our stuff is like very heavy. Yeah. And some of it we wrote a long time ago. Some of it's like, I just wrote it. And I feel like our friends that do follow us will be like, yo, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna walk. Why?
Yeah. Like, processing it helps. But that's the thing about, I mean, that PTSD, it's you've processed it, but then it's back. Mm-hmm. That's what that line. I'm still waiting. Wait, witching hour. I startle because it is your witching hour, and that's why I'm awake. That's why I'm afraid. I'm still waiting for your terror, but this time I breathe. You're no longer here. My mind slows, but the pendulum is steady. Like the heart with its truth, I am safe. Fuck, that's gorgeous. Okay. You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, then. Okay. Now, the poem about the talk.
This one's a little lighter, so
we gotta balance.
Definitely not happy, but it's not quite as heavy. Let's see. I give, and I give, and I give, but where does my love go, I wonder? I tried to protect it. I read all of the manuals, but it still slipped out when you walked through the door, like an escaped puppy, never to be seen again, feeding off of scraps just to get by. I wish that it would find its way back to me. I'd do anything to help you find it so that you could give it back. Yay.
Ooh, yeah. I'd do anything to help you find it so that you could give it back. That's such a strong line.